On the board, you see a word, a very popular word, a word that we use often, love. It's a very powerful word, L-O-V-E. It's just four letters, yet it speaks volumes. It's just four letters, yet it transcends time and space. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. And it closes in verse 13 by saying this. It says, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love." Why? Why does love have like the priority or the seniority above faith and hope? Well, let's think about it. When the end of time comes and we end up in heaven, hopefully, if you are in Christ, if you end up in heaven, there will be no more faith. There will be no more hope, but there will still be love. Love is the greatest. And so we might ask ourselves, why do we love? What's our motivation as Christians to love? 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says that we love because God first loved us. It goes on and talks about our love between one another. Verses 19 through 20 say this. Verses 20 through 21. "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." One aspect of our love for one another is to have a heart of service. Galatians chapter 5, 13 through 14 says, "For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Well, how do we love our neighbor, Paul? Paul says you need to serve one another. In that connection between our first word up here, love, and our second word, service, that connection between love and service, we might say that we serve God and others because God first served us. Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus came here to serve us and to give his life for us. And we need to likewise be there to serve and give of our lives for others. Today, Sunday, October the 8th, every single one of us has an opportunity to love and to serve. Today, as I said, I'm not exactly sure what we call it, but church eats serve for this day. The elders have approved for us to do this. The elders have desire that all of us be an integral part of our service this day. We are going to finish this morning's service, then we are going to go over and enjoy some fellowship and some food for lunch, and then we are going to disperse throughout our community and be there to shine as serving lights to others. Towards the end of this lesson, I am going to give you some specific details on ways that you can serve today. But for right now, I want you to open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 is a beautiful chapter in the Bible, and it gives us much encouragement. I'm going to read Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 10 in its entirety, and then we are going to break it down and look at three different encouragements for us to serve better, to serve more and more, to have a heart of love and service. So let's go ahead and read Galatians 6, 1 through 10. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load." Verse 6, "Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. This passage that comes from inspired Paul and that is written to the Galatians is saturated with service. Paul wanted the Christians in that specific region of the world to help those around them. He wanted those specific Christians in that region of the world to love those around them. And we can take these words and we can apply these words to us this very day. We can use these words and these 10 verses to help encourage us to go out in our community this afternoon and to do good. Now, I wish we could examine every single verse that I just read, but we don't have time for that because we need to serve, right? We need to eat. So we are going to just take 3 places in this passage and see some words of encouragement and motivation for us. First, I want us to realize that we as Christians need to be bearing the burdens of others. Look at Galatians 6, 1 through 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There will no doubt be sin that takes place within the Lord's church. And God tells us here that when someone is caught in any transgression, whether that's lying, or gossip, or sexual immorality, or drunkenness, or whatever it is, any transgression, then someone who is spiritually mature should go to that Christian who is caught in sin and should restore him or her in a spirit of gentleness. And verse 2 says that this act of restoring a soul back to Christ is an act of bearing burdens. Sin is a burden that weighs us down. But we can help one another. We can motivate one another to confess that sin. We can motivate one another to repent of that sin. We can motivate one another to overcome those sins. We can help one another to take that horrible burden and that horrible weight off of our souls. We need each other. We need each other as Christians because when we don't have other people holding us accountable, when we don't have people bearing our burdens, it is so much harder to overcome our sins and our temptations. But there are certainly other ways within the church where we can bear one another's burdens besides restoring a soul back to Christ. For instance, if we have members here or people in the community who are physically unable to do certain chores around their house, maybe mowing the lawn or trimming some bushes or going to get groceries, we can help bear that burden by being there for them. Maybe, as we have had very much in this congregation in the last few weeks, we can be there for people whenever they are in great times of sorrow. We can weep with those who weep, Romans 12:15. Then on the flip side, whenever good things happen to people in our congregation, we can be there to rejoice when they rejoice, Romans 12, verse 15. We can help people who might be in some financial struggles and who need some help paying bills. We can be there to give to the needy, Acts 4:34. We can write cards of encouragement, which so many of you are good at doing. We can even send texts every day of words of encouragement and verses that people do in this congregation. And we can fulfill what Hebrews 3:13 says, where we are to exhort one another every day. We can attempt to possibly answer some questions that maybe a babe in Christ has about the Bible that they don't really understand. And so we can help bear their burden by giving some of our maturity and knowledge to them and helping them come to an understanding. We can do so much in this congregation to relieve the burdens of other Christians. And a lot of that will be taking place in just a few hours. You can help bear the burdens of other members in this congregation. A lot of people will be working at different homes, helping people who are physically unable to do certain tasks. They will be providing services. We will be providing our skills to fulfill the law of Christ. Second, we see in this passage that as Christians, we never need to grow weary of doing good, nor do we need to give up in our efforts. Galatians 6, verse 9, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." I want you to think about times in your past where you have invested much effort in trying to help someone else. Think about times in your past, whether it was sometime recently, currently, or sometime a long time ago, where you have been there to do good works for someone else. Perhaps during one of these times, you invested so much of your energy and resources and time, and it didn't end up resulting in what you would have liked. Maybe it did not produce what you would have liked to produce in the life of someone else. Maybe you told yourself after one of these times, "No one seems to get better after I help them." Maybe you say during one of these times, "No one ever thanks me for the good works that I do for them." Maybe you say, "No one ever does good back to me in return." Maybe you say, "No one appreciates my service." Might I suggest that that's the wrong mindset to have when it comes to good works? As Christians, we do not serve others in order to get a thanks in return. We serve others out of thanks to God that we have the ability to serve. We serve others out of thanks to God for the very opportunity to do good works. If you only serve others because you want money in return or esteem or gifts or praise, you are going to get weary of doing good. Because there are many times in our lives where we will help someone and do good and serve someone out of love, and they will not reciprocate that. You want to know the solution to not growing weary. The solution is don't expect something in return. Jesus went to the cross out of love and service for others. And I think we would all agree with that. God is love. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, right? So Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross out of service for all people, knowing that the vast majority of people would not reciprocate love back to him. He went to the cross to die a cruel death, knowing that the vast majority of people would not appreciate his sacrifice. Yet he did it anyway. Whether it be helping a soul to see the truth of the Scriptures, whether it be installing a mailbox at someone's house, whether it be mowing someone's lawn, don't grow weary if they don't reciprocate that love and service back to you. Don't grow weary if you don't receive a thanks from them for your efforts. Keep on trying. Keep on being a light. Keep on doing good no matter what. One of my favorite quotes of all time is from Robert Louis Stevenson. Great author. Robert Louis Stevenson once said this. He said, "Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but judge each day by the seeds that you plant." I love that. Our good works are like seeds that we plant. And even if those seeds don't commonly produce a harvest, even if those seeds don't commonly produce plants in the lives of others, even if those seeds don't produce faithful souls in Christ, God is still going to reward us for our efforts. Well, how do I know that? Well, at the end of verse 9 of Galatians chapter 6, it says that we will reap if we do not give up. We will reap what we sow. Maybe the reason why some of us don't devote our times to serve others is because we know that when we serve others, it won't produce much in the lives of others. Maybe we know that if we serve others, it won't produce anything in the lives of others. So we give up and we don't do anything. But remember that you can still make an impact. And also remember that your soul's destination depends on whether you are sowing seeds of love and service or whether you are sowing seeds of indifference and hate. Verse 7 says that we will reap what we sow. So again, if you sow indifference and laziness and apathy towards people in our community, You're going to reap corruption and punishment. But if you sow seeds of good works and love and service, in the next life you will reap eternity with God. You will reap the crown of life. James 1 verse 12. Third and finally, we as Christians need to take advantage of opportunities to do good. Galatians 6 verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. When we have opportunity, we are to do good to everyone. We can't just help those who are lost, because this passage says that we are to prioritize and especially help those who are saved, those who are of the household of faith. But then we can't go to the other extreme, to where we only help those within the church, because God also wants us to be a light and to be a help to those who need the Lord. So we have to have balance. For our day of service this afternoon, we have opportunity to help both those in the household of God and those outside the household of God. Now, in this town of Neosho, we have certain roads that I would say are more well-known than other roads. You have the Neosho Boulevard, right, where a lot of the main businesses are. You have South Street that we are on right now that intersects through town that a lot of people drive on every single day. You have a Highway 86 where people get to work and get to other towns around here, and a lot of other highways. Well, in the Bible, you sometimes read about certain roads that were more famous or more popular than other roads. For a little bit, I want us to think about one of these roads that is found in the Middle East, and that is the Road of Jericho. The Road of Jericho is really interesting. Let's think about some times and some circumstances and some events that took place on the Road of Jericho. When the children of Israel crossed over into the promised land of Canaan, it was the Jericho Road that they took in order to defeat the city of Jericho. It was on the Jericho Road that Zacchaeus, that wee little man, climbed up in that sycamore tree to see the Lord. And then Jesus came to his house and saved him. It was on the Jericho Road that those sons of the prophets were building something and an axe head fell in the water. And what did the prophet do? He miraculously got it out, right? He caused it to flow. It was on the Jericho Road where those two blind men were passing by Jesus, and they called out to him, and Jesus restored their sight. It was on the Jericho Road where a certain man was rescued by another man, a good Samaritan. When you look at the instances of all that went down on the Road of Jericho, we see that the Road of Jericho was a road of great opportunity. Now again, here in Neosho, we have those physical roads like the Boulevard and Main Street and South Street. But every single one of us, in a metaphorical or a figurative or a spiritual sense, have our own Jericho roads. We each have our own roads of opportunity. And those Jericho roads run by our homes, they run by our works, they run by our gyms, they run by the restaurants we frequent, they run by our coffee shops, they run by all over wherever we spend our lives. And we need to take advantage of those opportunities. We need to take advantage of the opportunities on our Jericho roads, being bringers of good to those who maybe aren't that good. Titus chapter 2, verse 7. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. Is your life a model of good works? Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Are you considering some ways today how you can stir up love towards others in this congregation and stir them up to be a part of the help today in our day of service? Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. But then it goes on. It says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has prepared beforehand that we should be walking in good works. And guess what? There are some specific people in this congregation who have literally prepared before today for you to do good works. I want to thank Mike Kidwell. Glenn Honeycutt is not here right now, but Mike Kidwell, Glenn Honeycutt, Zechariah Anderson, they all had a part in preparing the different opportunities that we have on this day. I also want to thank those who have submitted different people in our community, whether it's your neighbor or your friend or your family member, different needs that they have so that we can fulfill the law of Christ, so that we can be there for people, so that we can love one another, so that we can serve. So what I want to do right now is to go over very briefly some of our specific works that we are going to do today. So there's three categories up here. You see the Fall Festival. The Fall Festival started yesterday. We had a booth down there. It went really well. What we do there is we give out flyers. We give out DVDs. We give out tracts. We talk to people. We give them free hot chocolate and coffee and cookies and water. And hopefully that provides an opportunity in the future to set up studies, to get to know people, and to bring them to the Lord. If you would like to serve at the Fall Festival this afternoon, I will be there from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. There's a sign-up sheet still back there for Sunday. If there's an empty spot, please sign up, and you can help in that way. Maybe you want to sign up for just an hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. So Fall Festival is one way we can work today. Second, you see housework. There are a lot of different jobs for different people who might be unable to do certain tasks. And like I said, some of these people are members of the congregation here, but some of these people are not members of the Lord's church at all. So we have an opportunity to go out and be a light in the midst of darkness. And so I'm not going to go through every single job because there are a lot, but you have some places like trimming bushes, or you have places like installing a mailbox and other various jobs. So I have some sheets. Mike Kidwell has prepared these sheets. He has organized these sheets. I'm going to put these on the... Actually, I'm going to put them on the welcome desk. That'd probably be better. And I have pens, and there's different spots where you can sign up for different ways to serve today. And you can read each one and see which one maybe you're better equipped to help with. And it also says some things that you might bring to help with these works. So that would be the second category here. Also, Mike wanted me to remind everyone that, you know, if you have a job that doesn't take that long, and there's still a lot of time in the afternoon, don't just go home. Please contact Mike or contact Glenn and see if there's another place where you can go help. Because there are some tasks that won't take that long, but there are some that will take quite a while. So you can see their numbers up here. I hope you can read them. If not, Mike Kidwell's number is 417-592-7225, and Glenn Honeycutt's is 417-389-1251. So call them if you get done quickly and see where else you might could serve and maybe bear some of the burdens of the other workers there. Then lastly, we have visiting. We have many shut-ins in this congregation, many members who are in different nursing homes around this area. And so there are some lists also here, which I will put with the housework list, where you can sign up and you can go to Granby House or Grand Villa or Oak Point or Medical Lodge, and you can just spend some time with shut-ins and encourage them and see how they're doing. And that might be good to bring your kids to as well. So that's the third category here. So I was going to put it on the Lord's Supper table, but I'll change that. I'll put that on the lobby, and you can sign up there right after services this morning. Lastly, you see here in the corner, wear Hillcrest shirts. Now, I realize some of you can't go back home, and that's fine, but if you can go back home or if you brought it, wear a shirt that says something about Hillcrest. Maybe our green devoted shirt, or maybe a recent VBS that we have, if you can find them. So please do that. To kind of conclude this lesson, you have two words up here that start with an S. You have selfishness, and you have service. And they are in great opposition to one another. You see, selfishness asks, what's best for me? Service asks, what's best for others? Philippians chapter 2, 3 through 4 reads, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Are you looking to the interest of others? Are you going to be there for others this afternoon? Are you going to take time out of your nap time or your football watching to help others? Are you going to be a part of the efforts of this congregation that so many people have worked very hard on preparing for us to do? John chapter 3, verse 16, we'll end with this. Very popular verse. I think most of us can recite it like that. Don't even have to think about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. If you noticed in the text, you have two verbs, two actions that are God's doing. You have God loving the world, and you have God giving his only Son. Let me ask you a question. If you were to choose one of these two verbs that God is doing, which of these would you say is the most important? God loving us or God giving his Son? Let me put it this way. Would you rather have God tell you that he loves you, or would you rather have God give you his salvation through his Son? I don't know about you, but I would take this verb, gave, over this verb. Because I don't have to have God tell me he loves me to know that he loves me. I know that God loves me by the way that he serves. If we are to be like our Father, and Matthew 5:48 says that we are, we cannot simply look at our community and say, I love you, Neosho. We have to serve our community. We have to give like the Lord gives. We have to show our love by our service. So let's be a light to this community today. We have so many opportunities to do so much good in Neosho. Now, I realize that this lesson is geared very specifically towards the members here. But I also realize there are people here who are not members of the Lord's church. Maybe you are not a member of the Lord's church, but you are interested in being a member of the Lord's church. And we want you to know that that can take place today. Now you might ask, why is it important to be a part of the Lord's church? And that's a valid question. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, that the Lord is going to save his church. The Lord is going to save his body. If you are not a member of the Lord's church, you do not have salvation. And we want you to be saved. Through God's word, he tells us how we can be saved, how we can become a part of that saved body. We can believe in Jesus, John 3:16. We can confess that Jesus is the Christ, Matthew 10:32-33. We can repent of our sin as we should, Acts 3, verse 19. Then we can be baptized in water for salvation. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Those acts of obedience on our part contact God's saving blood that he gave to us by his grace. So if you are here this morning, if you have that need to be saved, or if you have any other need, please come as we stand and as we sing.